Hi everyone, it's Martin here from Calming Anxiety. Today I have the pleasure of a chat. It's not an interview, it's just going to be a chat with Laura Martin. Laura is a certified holistic nutrition consultant based in Florida. And after battling her way through depression, eating disorders, and various other setbacks, she now runs the Healing to Happy website. And I'm sure we're just going to chat and give you lots of nuggets of awesome information. So, Laura, welcome to Calming Anxiety.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
No, it's really, I read through your bio on your website, and I just think, oh, so many people are going to want to hear this. But you came from a real dark moment, quite a long period. And the photo that you have up, very brave, of when your skin was really bad. And I might share with you later one of mine, because I battle with really bad skin, mainly at winter. And it doesn't bother me emotionally. It just means that I have to spend an hour, like today, before I come on webcam, because otherwise I scare small children. But yours was really bad. So what was the pivotal moment for you when you thought you've got to change? How did that happen?
Yeah. So, I mean, my journey, it started when I was 13 years old. And basically, some guy in a white coat told me my brain was broken and I needed medication to fix it for the rest of my life. And I was like, okay. Because, you know, you believe that. Yeah. And then I went on to, when someone tells you at such an early age that, you know, basically something is wrong with you, right? Like, you go on to live in that truth. Like, that becomes your truth. So you self-sabotage, you surround yourself with the wrong people, you do that kind of stuff because you're broken. So why would you not be around thatness? And so after, when I was, and I continued that cycle through a lot of my time, and then I went on to study psychology in college and all that kind of background, and was like, well, if this is my demon, I better make peace with it, huh? And so I went on to do that. But after unexpectedly losing my mom to addiction when I was 22, I did as all responsible adults do, threw away everything and ran away to Thailand. But what happens with that is you cannot run your problems. No. They come with you no matter where you choose to live. And I then surrounded myself with poor situations then, got involved with a really bad toxic relationship, all that kind of stuff. And it was one moment when I was, It was 24 years old. And I was sitting on my then boyfriend's balcony and was contemplating my life. And was kind of like, you know, at one of my suicide has crossed my mind a lot of times. I had attempted multiple times, and this was one of those times. I was sitting at the balcony and just like thought of my brother, and was just like, he's like my best friend, and it was just like, I can't do that. And I was like, but I also can't live like this anymore. Like, I can't keep thinking these thoughts and having these moments and being stuck in this thing. And I was like, okay, like, I'm not at fault for what was happening in my life. Right? Like, I'm not at fault for my mother passing or addiction crossing or these other like traumatic things that happened in my early adult life, but I am responsible for how I choose to respond.
Yeah.
And so I stopped letting my life happen to me, and I started then taking responsibility. And that's when I started, because I had a disorder, eating disorder, I was really into food, but like not in a healthy way. Right. And so that's when I started to go on this path, which, you know, as the universe has its way, led me on to creating Healing to Happy and going to helping hundreds of women. But that's when I was like, okay, so if I don't know what else I want to do, I was teaching English at the time. And I was like, but like, I'm not really an English teacher. I don't really, you know, not my thing. Yeah. And I was like, well, I like nutrition. So I went on to study that. And that's kind of, although it's just food, it really did save my life. It saved me from myself.
That's brilliant. It doesn't matter what it is. It just matters that you knew you wanted to change, and you found something as well. And I do find that people who've been through mental trauma and really deep down, when they find a way to serve others, it just changes them completely.
Yeah.
And seeing that the largest demographic for calming anxiety show is women aged between 20 and 34. No yes. offense to all the guys my age who are listening, because I'm old. This will really resonate. And also, I ended up in care at the age of 14 and a half, about 4.5 stone. So I had eating issues before they were given a name. Although I wasn't anorexic, I was just doing something else equally bizarre. Yeah. So how do you now explain, if you can, how the change in diet changed you? Because, I mean, you've made a transformational pivot from how you looked in those photos to how you are now.
Yeah, I mean, because at that time it was fear-based, right? So the one thing when we feel like our life is spiraling out of control, what is one thing we can control? Our plate, right? So I went into this whole using nutrition as, instead of fear-based, again, making another peace with another enemy. So first it started with psychology, now it's nutrition. And I went in and started looking at that, and I got onto the other side of stuff where it became orthorexia, where like you're so hyper-focused on needing to get it perfect. You're so hyper-focused on all these kind of things. And that's the photo that you're referring to, because at the time I also, from an early age, I was suffering from IBS, so irritable bowel syndrome. Yes. And so my body just like was like, girl, what are you trying to do to me? And so even though I was quote unquote eating all the right foods and doing all the right stuff, it was in the wrong way. And even though the healthy stuff, I'm doing like air quotes right now, even though the healthy stuff, my body just like spazzed out and was like, this isn't actually healthy. What you're doing to me is not correct. And then as the world will have it, I went on and then got specialized in gut health. And even there, they were telling me, okay, eliminate X, eliminate Y, do this with Z, like stop eating at these times. And I was like, yo, like, I have an eating disorder. You telling me to do intermittent fasting isn't going to work for me. Like that's far too triggering. And so then I started like getting into, and it wasn't until I sat down with my naturopath that she was like, do you want to talk about how your depression is linked to your IBS? And I swear, like I froze. I was like, what? One, I was so disconnected from myself that I was like, what do you mean I'm depressed? Because I was so used to being depressed. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't understand. And this is what led me down this whole pivot of how glorious this gut and this brain is always working together. Yeah. And so as I started to basically undiet myself and re-educate myself on actual real practical solutions, I was noticing that, oh, I'm eating more of the right foods that my body needed. Yeah. And I also am thinking about, you know, getting hit by a car much less, you know, and like, I'm not having panic attacks anymore. And I'm able to wake out of bed without that racing, like heavy feeling in your chest that I'm sure your listeners have felt as soon as they open their eyes. Like that started to decrease. And I was like, well, is it this interesting? And so I basically became my own like experiment of just like testing different foods in different ways. And I realized like, it's not about getting it perfect. And it's not about elimination diets and all this other kind of stuff that you see on the internet for IBS or bloating or constipation, what have you. It really is about taking the right steps in the right order. That goes back to finding your foundations and paying attention to this gut brain connection and stress levels and all that stuff.
I think so many people don't realize there is an incredible connection, as you say, between gut and brain. I mean, for me in hypnotherapy, one of the most incredibly simple techniques and most effective is hypnotherapy for IBS, mainstream IBS, to the point that in the UK, we have a foundation called NICE, which is the National Institute for Clinical Excellence. And hypnotherapy on a 6-year study was 95% effective. And it just, and it's the visualization, because the subconscious doesn't work in words. It works in, it's almost like metaphors, but in visuals. And you just imagine your whole gut as it is at the moment being a dirty river full of rocks and silt and things. And then you visualize it being absolutely crystal clear. and healthy. And in essence, that drives it. But it's all about how you feel. And it's, you know, you took steps to eat healthy, told the rest of your body, this is it, I want to change. And you've made this incredible change. And now you're helping, as you say, thousands of other people to let it go.
Exactly.
It's wonderful. Well,
it's such a thing that people don't, I think we move so quickly, right? Like we move so quickly to ask someone else what is wrong with us. We are so, which it's good intention, right? Like it's good intention to seek doctors and do these food sensitivity tests and follow like keto or carnivore or Whole 30 or like all these different kind of forms. But it's really like, when do we take back our own power and trust that our body, it, whether it's anxiety, whether it's a skin flare up, whether it is IBS, whether whatever it is that you're feeling a symptom, trusting that your body is just trying to communicate with you that something is not right. So even if that's quote unquote healthy, something still isn't healthy for you. So you really got to trust that the signals from your body, they're always trying to keep you alive. Like this beautiful vessel that we are granted is its literal only job is to keep you alive, to keep you in homeostasis. And so instead of demonizing and shaming and having guilt that our body isn't doing what we suppose it's supposed to be doing, instead, we're like, oh, well, isn't that interesting? How can I give this more love? How can I pay attention to this a little bit more and nourish it? Like when you're nourished and you're recharged and you're thriving, that's when you can release these other things that bring about anxiety and stress and depression and all these kind of stuff, you know?
So my skin condition is probably telling me I shouldn't eat the amount of chocolate that I deny that I eat. It always comes back to chocolate.
Because it's that dopamine. It gives you that reward when you eat it. So like in our gut, we have reward hormone, dopamine, and then we have serotonin as well. 90% of our serotonin, actually. So that makes sense. Chocolate gives you that hit.
Yes, it does. I heard a really good sort of moment on the radio recently, and it was called urge surfing. And when you get that urge for, you know, chocolate, or something naughty from the fridge or the cupboards, is to recognize it, go, right, I've got that urge. And then give yourself half an hour. Say, right, I won't for half an hour. And then you get over it. And it's wonderful, but I'm so aware of it that I just wait for half an hour.
Yeah. That's the thing is, like, I think it's more about finding what works and playing around with that. Like, what can you consistent, like, I eat dessert every day because it makes me feel good. And before I used to shame myself on that. And it's not like saying like, oh, I eat brownies and cake and everything every day. Like I make homemade banana ice cream when really it's just fruit, or I have like a square of chocolate, or I make homemade edible cookie dough out of like chickpeas. Like I figure out a way to have my cravings because I like them. They make me feel good. They are enjoyable. There's pleasure. Like, I don't even think it's like a cheat day or people say that. I'm like, no, it's just a treat because I love myself.
Absolutely. I think that's where everyone, certainly Western societies, go wrong when they go on a diet. And it really is just the word die with a T on the end. And you don't enjoy it. You won't keep up with it. Whereas if you make small changes, which you then grow accustomed to, you'll stick with them.
Exactly.
And I just think a life without Cadbury's Dairy Milk is a life not worth living.
Like, I don't want to be a part of that.
No, I don't. I really don't. And, you know, that's my version of hell. And I will keep that company going, because if I don't buy it, they might go under. And I have that guilt. So I've cut down a lot. I have cut down a lot.
Yeah, but it is so true. I mean, even the word diet, so I don't use that within my program. It's either a nutrition routine, a nutrition plan. Like, we as humans, we love routine, right? So why not? We have a routine for bed, we have a routine for the morning, we have a routine for work, all this kind of stuff. But like, what about your eating routine? And like, how, and like, we don't understand how essential that actually is for our anxiety relief and our nutrition. So like, walking people through what does your routine look like and how can you trust that, as opposed to some kind of diet that's telling you all this kind of like, you shouldn't be doing this and like cut out your chocolates. Like, I don't want a list of that. I want the list of all the stuff I should be eating. That sounds very much like more enticing.
You've converted me. And I think everyone listening will be going, actually, wow, Laura's talking the kind of sense of life. And you'll be getting everyone coming to your website going, give me a nutrition plan that includes dairy milk, please.
Yes.
Or whatever they like. So how long did it take you to, after you realized you wanted to change, what was the story and the pathway there?
Oh gosh, so many face plants. I'm not even going to lie. And like, this is where linking arms with the right people at the right time would have been helpful. But I was, one, very headstrong. Two, I didn't have anywhere to go. I didn't know, like at the time, gut health wasn't as popping as it was now. And nutrition was still caught in like fear, fat, and like all this hoopla. And I was in Asia. So also that. So it was all that kind of stuff. So I ended up, you know, face planting, trying every, like there was a running joke when I was still teaching that like I had a diet every Monday. Like I was on a detox every Monday because I would find something on the internet and I'd be like, ooh, ooh, or I'd learn something in school and I'd be like, let me try it, which is good. Yeah. But like, cause I became this whole, like now no one has to do all of this and take 5 years to figure out something you can actually do in like 30 days. Like you don't need that much time. But it was a long journey because it's hard to trust yourself again and trust that the signals from your body are right, even though your best friend has had great success on keto. So you think you should be doing that. And you're like, wait, no, my body is actually fine. And when I do keto, I'm like not pooping. And so that's probably not good. Like, and being able to rewire that. And so it actually, so at that time when my face flared up, I had eliminated 13 different food groups. I was like the epitome of gut health. Like I was known as like gut health girl in Bangkok, like all this kind of stuff. But like, and I had to stand in front of stages speaking with that on my face. And I was like, hold up a second. Like something here is not right. Look at my body. I'm preaching health and I can't even smile because it hurts my face. Like it hurts so bad. And so after I figured that out and actually rewired, got my hormones back in balance, got my gut back and like was listening to my body. It's been 3 years now that everything is in remission. I take the supplements. I take like a women's vitamin and a probiotic, but and like a vitamin E. It's pretty much it.
Yeah. I just think we should get most of our vitamins from our food. But yeah. Then I have an eclectic diet as well. So on one side, yes, I do occasionally snack in case my coach is listening in. And then I have what my kids refer to as my sludge smoothie in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know, after 2 weeks you can train yourself to like almost anything, and I now like this. So it's raw broccoli, spinach, kale, oats and an apple. You just got to make sure you blend it properly, otherwise it comes out gloopy. And I can't,
it's like you get it like stuck in your tooth. And you're like, oh,
because it's all, it's in the freezer. So I put in hot water. So it just comes out at the right temperature, but you might not blend a big lump. And you're just like, why am I doing this? But mine, if there are any guys out listening who are sort of 50 plus, broccoli, and there's a German study on this, is awesome for getting rid of prostate cancer, actually reversing it, and kale for macular degeneration, because I am an old bloke.
That's cruciferous vegetables. Yeah. They're good.
And they're good. And I just absolutely disliked it when I started. And now I realize, actually, you know, it is science. You can change your taste buds and how you... 100%. But I've proved that wrong in I cannot eat... And now it's going to go. That's my age going. Beetroot, that's it. I can't eat.
Oh, I love beetroot. It
makes me...
Have you tried with like a beetroot hummus? It's so good.
Really?
It's
so good. I can have beetroot crisps. They are gorgeous.
Okay.
But one of my colleagues used to keep beetroot in the fridge at work. And you know, as someone who's still a paramedic and can put up with a lot of bodily smells, the worst that you can ever come across, and just waltz in there and just go, yeah, not a problem, that's fresh. Beetroot is a no-no for me still. I cannot change that.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Yeah. I mean, I love the perk about my job is for the things that we know we have to get in, my job is I have to figure out to make it taste delicious. So that's because, I mean, all the people that like come and work with me and they're like, I know I like one of my clients hired me on and he comes in and he goes, all right, so I need to eat a Ted's burger every single day. I'm a meat and potatoes kind of guy and I'm not going to cook. And I was like, oh, why am I here? And then by the end of it, he's meal prepping. His kitchen was like set up nicer than mine. He like, cause it really is, it's the micro steps, right? It's not like looking at the macro picture. It's looking at the micro step where like with most people, I'll be like, okay, start with your morning smoothie. And maybe it's not like broccoli and all that kind of stuff. Maybe you're just like throwing an extra handful of spinach instead of like munching on your kid's brownie. Like you have your own smoothie to go. And it's just those kind of things where it's like, it doesn't have to be torture, like different books and all this kind of stuff. Like you should enjoy your life. That is the point of life. It should be fun. It should be enjoyable, but it's hard when you feel like your brain and your body are working against you.
Yeah, it is. But, and also people have got to this stage in their life when they're so used to what they've been brought up with. They know they want to change and to lose their last bit of pleasure because they know they're going to put themselves through probably physical fitness as well, which they find completely off-putting. But it is, as I, you know, you get your clients, I get my clients, I just say, look, one small step, just go out for a 3-minute walk, just enjoy it. But every day, just do it. And just give them small challenges. Like I'm on a new challenge to get my splits back in 30 days.
Ooh.
And I'm on day 5. And my legs are absolutely killing me. But you just start. You can stop if you want, but just start. And you find that once you have started, you go, well, I'm not going to give up now.
Yeah. Well, that's the way the brain works is, and this is why like the New Year's resolutions and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, yo, like slow down, pick one thing because the brain can't handle all these things. Because as soon as you miss one, you're going to think yourself as a failure. And then you're going to start back to where you were and you're going to perpetuate. So it's like, pick that one thing that you think is achievable. And then we get that like reward. We get that hit. We're like, ooh, I can do this. I'm learning something new. And that's the neurotransmitters in your brain actually working and firing in that way. And then you can build on top of that. But it really is like every single thing out there. And this is what makes me cringe of even being on the internet is just like, this is what you're doing wrong. And this is what you have to do. And da, 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 da. So like, no, celebrate that. Like you got out of bed today. And like, maybe you didn't have a panic attack. That's a celebration because you went on a walk. So maybe you should go on a walk tomorrow.
Yeah.
Again, yeah,
that's
like
really good. Positive feedback, reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
All that did work for me.
Mm-hmm.
They keep up with it. So what's your sort of main client base? Why do people come to you?
People that are struggling with IBS and they don't want to use medications anymore. So a lot of women that I work with, it's the food fear thing. And so they understand that, you know, I can't eat normally anymore. I have a handful of foods that I can only consume because I'm so afraid of all this other stuff because it flares me up and I'm like, oh no, no. And so it's really going back to the basics and learning to love life again.
Yeah. You set them free.
So exactly.
If you could sum one of your greatest achievement up, what would that be? What did you
think?
Are they now?
My greatest achievement, it would be healing to happy. Like the testimonials and the women that have gone through my courses or my programs, it's like, yes, you could not pay me to go through my life journey again. Like I'm good on that one. I think I got enough for my early age. But to see that instead of becoming a victim, I became a victor. And in that I've gone on to create a change. Like even like there's this, hold on, I'll show you. My dad sent this to me where it's like this little Gandhi picture I made like in grade school where it's like, be the change you want to be in the world. And so when I was 4 years old, my dad would always ask me like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I was like, oh, I want to change the world. And he's like, that's not really a job. And so at the time I thought it was nursing. And so my, I went to nursing. My mom was a nurse. I went to nursing and then I saw blood and I was like, absolutely not. That's not going to be it. Not happening. Oh. So I had no idea. And so now that I have Healing to Happy and I see the changes and I get the purpose and I get why psychology happened and I get why nutrition happened. And then the women that have gotten their life back have gone into be better mothers, friends, partners that have come off their medications after decades of being on them, all that kind of stuff.
That's gorgeous. I just, you know, I like it when I get clients that come to me with anxiety or depression and then they come out the other side and you see the real them and they don't need it. I mean, some people do, and I'll just caveat all of this. I'm on an antidepressant, but I don't have depression and I never did have depression. It just sorts out something that's intrinsically different in the brain. Processes things, but ever since I had my pivotal moment, I'm a different human being. And I'm sure you'd say if someone met you now who knew you before you changed, they'd think they were talking to a totally different human being.
Oh, ask my parents, ask my dad. Like, he's still, now that I've moved back to the States, it's just our, because we didn't have a relationship before, and now he's literally my best friend. So
don't you make me cry. I don't think my mum would ever be my best friend. If I thought I was bonkers, she's off the scale. My kids, my older kids used to call her mad grandma. Yeah, she's not mad as in psychotic, just bonkers. She is the most inspirational human ever. She's almost 80. If it wasn't for the pandemic, she travels the world doing National Geographic photos. She's been one of the top portrait photo photographers in the UK. She's amazing. And she was a model. She used to be a model. I always remember this. She got married before I was born, as were the days. But she got married in a black miniskirt. She used to model diamonds and fur, and we lived abroad. She's been on the cover of 45 singles. And
that is incredible life that she has led.
And now she's into painting. So do you know Bob Ross, the guy?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
She watched him by accident and now she paints Bob Ross style. And for Christmas, she gave me two canvases. And you're like, where did you learn this? Because they are brilliant. You would put them next to a Bob Ross and you go, well, that's a Bob Ross. And you go, it's just, anyway, that's where I get it from. I could waffle all day. Sorry, this is about you. And I'm just talking. Sorry, listeners.
I love it.
So what are your plans now? Where do you want to take your...
So right now I am focusing on, I have my signature gut recharge program so that I can do more of the masses, which I'm loving. Like, I think magic is in community, especially right now, like online community. And I mean, we're seeing the rise in what, like Clubhouse, we're seeing the rise in Facebook groups, we're seeing the rise in all that stuff. So if I can create a program that, yes, gives you like the science and the soul, but also that community of people that you don't have to do it alone like I had to do, but with other women that have either gone through the program or know what you're going through. Because the thing about anxiety, the thing about IBS is they're silent battles, right? Like, you don't have something that's showing up on your skin. You don't have a wound to do that. So when someone tells you, like, just go eat a burger, it's fine. That's very disheartening. Or when you're having a fright and so you cancel all your plans, so you're really lonely because meeting people is too hard. And also you have food anxiety, so it's extra hard. It's like creating a space where you can belong is my mission, and to kind of create a movement in that and then continue this roller coaster of a ride that we got.
It is nice to build those small communities for people that you want to help. I just kind of welling up at what you're doing. It's just lovely. And you're helping in a real way, because I know quite a few people with IBS colleagues and they're given scant attention really, because as you say, it's hidden. And the same with well, any mental health issue, because people can't see it and they don't understand it. So people like yourself and me who have been there, I think we serve so well because our clients, they get it. We know what it's like. Mm-hmm. And we can help from a place of knowing. So I think
exactly.
So where would I send the listeners? What's your website?
So my website is healingtohappy.com. I'm most active over on Instagram though. That's Laura Martin_H2H. Mm-hmm. And you guys can come hang out. If you guys want a free downloadable of groceries that you can buy, you can just go to healingtohappy.com/beat the bloat. Yes. And that'll give you a nice little grocery list of all the foods that you can start adding to your diet that also help to boost your moods and all that stuff.
Does it contain beetroot?
No, it actually doesn't.
I'll have some of that.
I think it might.
I'll put all of that on the show notes.
Thank you.
It's just brilliant. And everyone who's listening in, do go and look at Laura's website. It really is. It's just lovely. You've got this story. And now you're going out helping. And so many women need that. And I know that as a paramedic, you know, it's constant in our lives as paramedics that we go to people with severe IBS and they don't get the help they need. You know, the idea is just throw them some pills.
And that's exactly. No, and it doesn't feel good when that happens either. Or when someone tells you it's all in your head, it's so lonely and disheartening when that happens, because then you're told you're broken when really, again, like going back, like you're not broken. It's just, they don't have one, when you go see a doctor, they have 8 to 12 minutes to sit with you. They don't have the 30 days or 6 weeks to sit with you and really learn your story. And so it really does. It's the investment of that, but like, you're not broken. Nothing's wrong. It's just figuring out the tools that your specific body needs. That's that magic sauce. Yeah. And then you go on to do the dancing and thriving and having that energy and all that good stuff.
That's fantastic. Wow. Well, I'd certainly look at your grocery. and if anyone wants my grocery list, it's called Cadbury's. And fruit and nut, because that's just evil. You shouldn't put fruit and nut in chocolate. Sorry. Just got to get that out there. I think that my listeners who have listened over the last year will realize there's a theme and it surrounds that little purple packet of love.
Love it. The purple packet of love.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. This has been lovely.
Chatting. And you've opened my eyes, and I hope that everyone that listens then heads on over to your website, connects.
Thank you.
And you can help them live their lives like we are. So
thank you.
Thanks,
thank
Laura.
You. Of course. Thank you.
So that's Laura Martin. Thank you for listening to Calming Anxiety. And as always, everybody, be kind, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.